Welcome to Right to Life and Michigan's Life Beat. I am your host today, Chris Gast. Joining us are Anna Plimert and Grace Hemeke. Ladies, happy Friday.
Happy Friday. It's actually Friday.
It is Friday. Happy days. No TGIF on TV anymore, though. No Blockbuster. You know, pizza rolls aren't as good as they were in the night. Anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about, the 90s today, but our real topic overall is Planned Parenthood released their latest annual report. So why should you care about that? Well, Planned Parenthood is one of the most influential political, social, however you want to characterize it, organizations in America today. And of course, when we talk about the issue of abortion and the number of abortions they provide and the amount of life lost, Planned Parenthood is the number three cause of death in America. So what they publicly say they're doing as far as their mission and where they're going should be very important to us in the pro-life movement, so we understand what's the other side doing, because they are, we've talked about this in the podcast before, there's not a leader of the abortion industry or movement any more than there is us from the pro-life side. But if you had to pick one, you would pick Planned Parenthood just for a variety of reasons. So I thought we'd just go through, talk about their annual report. Anything stand out to you in a big way? First of all, I think their annual report is very ugly.
You have said this so many times.
Yeah, every year they manage to make it, even back into the 90s and 80s, it just looks ugly. Maybe it's because of the content involved, but probably besides all the numbers that we're going to get into in a minute, what stood out to me is that woman and women, that word, is now back in the annual report. For a little while there, it was gone. You could not say women in the Planned Parenthood annual report, which should be shocking because they used to, a few years ago, hold themselves out as the premier women's organization. Their main color is even pink. To be a woman in America, you have to support Planned Parenthood. Is sort of the implication of, what they were saying for their public relations. And then, poof, women were disappeared for a couple of years there.
They don't want to offend their
new client base?
Their customers that come for...
We'll get into that in a minute.
Sex change drugs. I don't know.
There you go.
I don't know what they're called.
Anything great for you? While I recover for a minute here.
They had such an emphasis on education in this particular report. I thought that was really interesting.
They do. One thing I'll add just quickly, they used to have a section of all the celebrities that love them. They used to have like a page where they're like, look, it's Alex Trebek and all these other celebrities. The list didn't change much from year to year, but...
I don't think they have to really do that anymore because they don't have to give them a spotlight in their report of like, here's the people that support us. I think you can kind of just assume that all celebrities support them and are going to support them whether they get a shout out or not.
Well, interestingly, I saw something earlier this week about Gwyneth Paltrow, who has been a Planned Parenthood supporter for like forever. Her kids came home after a Planned Parenthood sex ed period in their class, and she and they were all shocked at the explicit material that Planned Parenthood was teaching. And Gwyneth Paltrow made some statements about how crazy it was that Planned Parenthood was teaching kids all of this at such a young age. So I thought that was really interesting.
Did she say this in an interview, or did she write about it somewhere?
I'm not sure which one, but it's on public record.
Maybe it was on that TikTok thing.
You mean TikTok?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, that is very interesting, because I think it was last week we talked about parental consent and what they're trying to get at, if especially in Michigan, teen abortions mm-hmm. are super low. So what would be the point of getting rid of parental consent or trying so hard to get rid of it? And I think we all agreed that it was because they wanted to push sex ed in high schools, middle schools, elementary schools, so that way they could eventually move their way in there, put clinics in there, influence the kids to think it was completely normal. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, for them to emphasize all of the education they're doing on the report, I think solidifies that.
Well, let's talk about kind of changes from their last annual report, you know, the year before. But then we'll go and talk, too, about comparing, you know, 10 years ago, because it's good to look at kind of long-term trends. You know, year-by-year fluctuations happen in any nonprofit, but, you know, what happens over 10, 15, 20 years is pretty indicative of their direction. So, Planned Parenthood now has fewer than 600 centers across America. It's down from more than 900 in the 1990s. They're down 30,000 clients from the previous year. Kind of interestingly, they didn't lose a ton of clients in the COVID years. Despite this decline in clients, though, they provided 350,000 more services in a single year. So we know that, you know, in the past, Planned Parenthood has made a bigger point of always claiming that abortion is only 3% of what we do. Then they were kind of forced to update that to 4%. If you look at their annual reports over time, whenever that number was in danger of changing, they decided to just add another category of services. Their definition of service is a discrete interaction in the course of any visit. So you could have a visit to Planned Parenthood and receive 5, 6, 7 services, you know. I guess if they got into real trouble, they could add greeting services. Like, we provided 2.1 million greeting services because mm-hmm. they had, you know, 2.1 million clients and they said hello. That's a discrete interaction. So, you know, think about just one abortion visit. You're going to have the abortion itself is a service. The pregnancy test is a service. Giving the woman a condoms or birth control prescription on the way out, that's a service. Any tests they do.
Any counseling they might have done.
Right, so that's 3, 4, that's 5 services for just one visit, and that's how they could say right there, well, abortion was only 20% of that abortion visit.
Right.
It's pretty ridiculous, but, you know, public relations gotta public relation. Gotta publicly relate. The number of abortions they performed was down slightly from 2020, so that's good, but still the number's very high. So in 2020, during the pandemic, they were allowed to stay open in almost every state. They performed 383,460 abortions. Last year, in their 2021-2022 year, they committed 374,155 abortion. So just to compare that to everyday numbers in America, about 500,000 people a year in America die of cancer, and about 500,000 die of heart disease. So again, Planned Parenthood is the number 3 cause of death in America if we counted unborn children. They say they provided 300,000 more telehealth appointments. Some of that is undoubtedly due to COVID. This covers, you know, some of the pandemic years. But if, as we've seen with the abortion pill, they make telehealth and mail, you know, abortion pill by mail, one of their biggest focuses along with the rest of the abortion industry. And that's because it's cheaper and easier for them to do it. And in their mind, more women will do it because it's cheaper and easier for them
mm-hmm.
at the beginning. Of course, not in the end when the woman has to deal with the aftermath of the abortion.
Right.
Not just psychologically, but physically.
But they don't have to deal with that part.
Right. Yeah, they don't have to do cleanup. They don't have to have a clinic, you know. Who knows? Planned Parenthood could be like the Amazon of, you know, abortion, and they're not even, all they're doing is operating mail centers.
Right.
It's kind of, it'd be fine by them. I mean, I think their goal is just as many abortions as possible, as few children as possible, And if that means no clients or whatever, they'll do whatever they have to do to achieve that goal. They do like making money, though.
They do. As
we'll get into in a minute. Their category of, other procedures. So where do those services that they did come from? They have this category called other procedures. And before, the previous year, that number was only like about 16,000. And now that number is up past 250,000. So that is a huge change in 1 year. So they don't say specifically what that gigantic change is, which is kind of surprising. You think if you were a business and you sold miraculously 250,000 more units of a product, you'd promote that, wouldn't you?
Well, I'm not quite sure why they're not promoting it, because they seem very proud to be promoting the services that we're assuming is in this category.
Well, I think it's one thing to say it's great that we're doing it, but when you give the numbers to people, it's kind of shocking. So they do say that this category includes transgender services. It's really not one of our issues as a, an organization that deals with abortion, but that number could be, that means roughly, unless they have some other weird thing going on, that's 240,000 transgender services in 1 year, which I just think that's a lot when you consider how many people are in America. And that could be too. That could be broken up like, that could be 10,000 people are coming and they each get,
right,
25 services. But I mean, that's a huge change for them.
I feel like if they were proud of all that, all those services, they wouldn't inflate it like that. But they're trying to hide that number.
Yeah. I think it's like, it's one thing to say we're doing this as like a, hey, look, we're doing this. You have to like us because we're, we're special. But then when you look at the numbers and then people get an idea of the scope of it, that's another thing. So it's like, oh, this thing is happening out there. It's fine. But then you're like, oh, there's 240,000 of these things happening. It's right in front of you. And you think about some implications of that, that might change. That might be why they are wanting to put it in the other category. Or they're just really lazy and didn't want to update the format of their annual report, which is certainly possible. Never underestimate the power of human laziness.
That is true. I think the way that we could talk about this category is that it's very clear that they're just trying to make money by offering these services, adding on these services.
Right. So
it's another way for them to make money.
Right. So unlike an abortion where they want the woman to come in and leave as soon as possible, half of them will come back because the repeat abortion rate is 50% roughly. But they come, they get the abortion, they go. They don't want to deal with them. They don't want them to be, long-term clients. They aren't providing primary care to these women. But with transgender services, they come back and there's more and there's more and there's more. And then that is a more permanent client base, just like their contraceptive services, which are down, which we'll get to in a minute. So you talked about money, and then, what changes? Always more money. Every year, their money, no matter what, keeps going up. No matter how many times their clients decline and their specific services that remain the same, like contraceptive services decline, they always are making more money. So their total assets in 1 year increased by about $200 million. That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Their profits increased from $133.7 million to $204.7 million. So this organization that exists with government funding, and a ton of it, more than $500 million, but the profits they make as a nonprofit is huge. They are perfectly capable of funding everything they do without taking a single dime from you, the taxpayer. But you have to be complicit in their work and, take the easy money on the table from the taxpayer rather than having to ask donors and go through that and have to prove to the donors that
they
you're
doing it. They still already asked donors.
They do. But But I'm just saying, you know, filling out a grant thing and then getting, you know, $500 million from the government is...
A lot easier.
Sort of. I mean, I'm sure there's some annoying hoops to jump through, but... You know, you don't have to be, donors you have to be accountable to. You have to go to donor and say,
that's true.
I did this, we're doing that.
And you have to listen whatever. To them and take their suggestions.
Like, if you want to go to a donor and say, hey, our clients are down by almost a million in the last decade, you know, a donor might be like, am I wasting my money on you? But, you know, the government is really good at wasting money. And so, hey, our clients are down a million. We're providing less services. Can we have more money from the taxpayer? Sure, we support Planned Parenthood here at the government.
Yeah, it's a budget mindset rather than a profit mindset. And would the government technically be indebted to Planned Parenthood then? If Planned Parenthood doesn't endorse a candidate in a race, will
that's true.
The pro-abortion...
And then Planned Parenthood makes donations to candidates, so in a sense, it's kind of laundering money. From the United States Treasury into your campaign account.
Well, I wasn't thinking that, but okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. And they also spent an additional $30 million on management and general expenses. So that's a lot of additional staff or whatever else is going on there. A lot of things are categorized as general. Well, that's
kind of...
Could that
be... what they spent on, like, Proposal 3 campaign?
That would be under the ballot question committee, wouldn't it?
Well, we're talking about their what they put in their annual report versus Michigan requirements for campaign finance. So they do have other categories in there, like advocacy and services in the field of family planning and blah, blah, blah. And that category has expanded massively, and that's where they park a lot of their money in sort of 501c4 political activity stuff. But that probably is, you know, when you put management in general, you generally really don't want to do that as a nonprofit because that's basically, you're talking about salaries.
Right.
And donors don't want to see a nonprofit wasting a lot of money on salaries versus the mission. So, which, by the way, none of us are paid enough to own, you know, a Maserati, unlike Planned Parenthood directors and CEO. So, just pointing that out. Let's talk about kind of the big changes. So, going back to their 2012 annual report versus the 2021-22 annual report, what changed? Like, what's been the big trends and changes? Well, the revenue is up massively. So, they were... It was a big deal. They finally crossed the billion mark. They were making $1.2 billion in revenue a year. Now they're about to cross the $2 billion mark in revenue, probably as soon as next year if their trends continue. A $2 billion organization is not nothing. But their client base has declined massively. So they were up to 3 million clients back in 2011, 2012, they're now down to 2.13 million clients. So they've lost, you know, about 900,000 clients. But their revenue is, I mean, inflation's part of that, but their revenue is up by $700 million. Does that business model make any sense to you?
This might be really overly simplistic, but if the supply of abortions is restricted, would the demand increase the price?
Could be. I don't know. You know, it's kind of interesting how the price of an abortion really hasn't changed in decades. I mean, it goes up a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah. If for a long time, the price of the average abortion was hovering around $400. This is because in a lot of cases, these were just cut rate, nasty clinics, not giving, you know, not investing in like proper staff and training and facilities.
But we're talking Planned Parenthood, which isn't cut rate necessarily.
Not necessarily. It depends on affiliate to affiliate. In Michigan, they're not cut rate because they, at least before, they knew that we would get them for regulations issues. And so, but in other places, I remember was it in New Jersey or Delaware, was that there was a Planned Parenthood that the staff there were doing it, like, complaining about, and they called it a meat market. That's something gross. You want to hear. That's disgusting. But yeah, maybe the abortion price is starting to go up, but I haven't heard much about that. I mean, from their standpoint, I mean, they get so much money from the government, and it doesn't really matter. They can just charge whatever. They're just going to just keep raking in money from other places. Their funding from taxpayers increased from $542 million to $670 million, so not as fast as growth as what they're getting in donations, but still, that's a lot. And when you think about, you know, we partially defunded Planned Parenthood for like 1 year, and there was just no real change in that trend line. Whatever we took away federally, they made up in state funds, they made up in stealing pandemic relief funds, which they never got in trouble for. You know, Congress wrote those laws specifically excluding Planned Parenthood from taking pandemic relief money, especially because they were open, unlike every other place of business. But they just still applied for it, got the funding, you know, and then never had to give it back, never had to repay it.
Right. Well, and above the law. They do that for donations, like for Prop 3, they received more donations than what they used, if I remember correctly. Yeah, it seems like they always had a little reserve, well, a lot of reserve.
A couple million is a lot of reserve.
If they needed it. So, and I highly doubt they had to give those donations back. The people that donated it probably forgot about them, didn't miss them.
That money from the FTX cryptocurrency scam, you know, they took a couple million from that, and which was defrauding people, and they didn't give that back. So,
right. So I'm saying
money laundering.
Do that a lot of times, you're gonna have a profit that's
right
pretty large, regardless of how many clients or customers you have.
Right. So birth control, you know, which is why Planned Parenthood was founded. It's what they want you to associate with them when you talk about them way more than abortion. I mean, that's been in serious decline. Their number of contraceptive clients fell from 2 million. It's now down to 1,650,000. So a few more years, and they're going to be down, you know, 25% or more. And that's supposed to be what they're all about. And also, too, they make themselves seem so important to, like, America. Like, without us, like, women in America will die all over the place. But there's 65 million women of reproductive age in America. So you talk about contraceptive clients and their clients overall. I mean, they're only serving, like, 2% of American women.
Well, you know, I wonder
if... It's not nothing, but that's not, like, systemic... you know, threat that, you know, let's say that we shut them down tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's still plenty of ways women can get free contraception in America. Right. You know, there's no way that this 2% of, you know, American women can't be accommodated by the massive amount of money we spend on Title 10 family planning. So there you go. A couple more things before we get to some good news to leave you with today. So, you know, a couple of years ago when Susan G. Komen was giving them money and there was a big kerfuffle about that and they tried to quit and Planned Parenthood just like, and they were friends with them, Planned Parenthood just threw them under the bus in ruthless fashion. It was a sight to behold. If you're a nasty political hatchet man, it was a masterclass and you should be teaching that and how to be a slimy politician school. The number of manual breast exams, not mammograms, that they provide fell down from 639,000 to 193,000. And then you look back 20 years ago, they used to perform 1 million manual breast exams. So in 20 years, they're down 80%. And they made such a big deal about all how we provide this and how important we are. And if we don't do this, women are going to die. But, I mean, it's just a joke because they don't care. They're just cutting it. It's just a waste of their time, you know?
Yeah. They're not making money.
And it's not a mammogram. So it's not anything that a person, most people can't do for themselves before they go in and ask their primary care physician or specialist for actual care and helping diagnose breast cancer. And then last but not least, their abortions over 10 years, despite all the client declines, everything else, they're up. They were at 334,000 10 years ago. Now it's up to almost 375,000 abortions a year, which of course is not just some service number, but that's a number that is lives lost, bodies crushed and poisoned and ripped apart for $2 billion. So, anything else before we get to a happier...
On a good note.
Like we said, the number of clients that they served is down. The number of centers that they have is way down. So even though they're still finding ways to get more money, you know, and have more, try to have more influence, they are in decline. They're an organization kind of in decline.
Yes.
That probably explains their recent emphasis on education.
Or why are they getting into transgender services beyond just, that's a whole nother class of client. I mean, although it's, you know, you could say that those people are not having kids and that's part of their mission. But, I mean, they're in decline. So at some point, all of this is going to catch up with them unless they completely change their business model.
Well, I'm thinking that they could change their business model to do mainly abortion pills through telehealth. You don't need a facility for that, which I'm assuming is why maybe mm-hmm. some of these have closed, is they don't need to come in person anymore. But also, I think a lot of people forget that our pregnancy resource centers outnumber their facilities by, I don't even know by how many, thousands. By a lot.
And those are not in decline at all.
And those are growing every year.
I think in all the time I've been here, I don't think I've ever heard of a pregnancy center in Michigan closing.
I don't think I've seen changed names. Yeah.
I've seen, I could probably name one or two versus the amount I've seen grow. But yeah, there's not a decline there. So we're not going away.
No, we're not.
Hopefully they are. Eventually, we'll see. All right, that's all the time we have for this edition of Life Beat. Join us again next week. Have a wonderful weekend in this beautiful world.